This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Now, full time on Radio City Talk.
It is Radio City Talk, 3 minutes after five on Monday evening, which means we are all in the game, right? I'm joined by professional footballer Ryan Lowe and also David Downey from the Blue Room. But prior to that news, he was an all-in-the-game virgin, right? He's no longer that. He's on the show quite regularly, but he's here as one of the panellists and experts this evening. Now a collective sort of semi-round of applause for Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rap this evening.
Woo-woo! Stop booing him for the things he's been coming out with.
Gareth Roberts, you're very welcome indeed. Obviously, you're an avid fan of All in the Game. When the other head is here, Neil Atkinson, he's normally here. How's things? How do you feel after the weekend? Because I'm going to give you the first word as a new co-presenter in this section of the show.
How do you feel after the weekend? I was absolutely gutted, I've got to be honest with you, losing that game. I thought Everton obviously points towards Liverpool getting the victory there. Swansea awful away from home. I think only two victories all season away from home. Liverpool flying at home and, you know, only unbeaten for a year at home in the league. So, you know, Everton pointed to it, but I wrote something on Friday and I was trying to say to everyone, when you go to game, just get behind them. Like, don't be complacent. Don't think it's only Swansea. And I think everyone did think it's only Swansea. And I thought the atmosphere was poor. Liverpool didn't get going first half. And I think because they didn't get going first half, it gave Swansea an opportunity to get in the game. And you know what happened next.
Right, well, after 5:30, we focus on Liverpool a little bit stronger. We'll focus on Everton very shortly. Just a quick one for you, Gareth, while you're here. When Everton concede, right? I come from a house of blues, right?
Right.
And I'm the Liverpool fan in the house of blues. When Everton get defeated or lose or anything happens, I genuinely, and I think it's because of working in here and working so closely with blues like Dave and stuff, it doesn't, I never cheer when the opposition scores against them. I never get annoyed by that. Do you? Are you one of those?
We get, well, I run the Anfield app social media and in the mail.
So to you, is it?
And, and we get loads of stick off blues. And so I think we should give it back. And for that reason, yeah, I do cheer when Everton can see the goal.
Right,
because I know they cheer when Liverpool
do.
Well,
that's what I was going to bring. That's the whole point in bringing this point up. I was working here on Saturday afternoon, right?
Liverpool. Dave was made up, wasn't he?
No, this is exactly what happened. Liverpool just scored the second. I was standing right there, just there. And I hit the buzzer here to Dave, and I hit the buzzer. This is Swansea just taking a 3-2 lead. Right, just as my show was starting on Saturday afternoon. And this face on this cretin in front of me, not only did his face light up, he went, get in, and punched the air. Now, Dave is one of the most approachable blues I have
diplomatic,
ever...
Diplomatic, I think you'll find, yeah.
Approachable blues I have ever met, right?
He's not a blue.
I genuinely mean this. But I felt like somebody had punched me in the heart when I watched you celebrate as Liverpool went.
He's just said he's had the best weekend of his life. His life? How old are you?
I said Evertonian.
Oh, just because Liverpool
personally
got beat?
No, not at all.
And Everton won a 90th minute winner?
No, and Gallagher's got a point there. I mean,
your missus is not listening to this. The best weekend of your life.
She definitely doesn't. Anyway,
I hear you if you're listening.
Anyway,
just a quick bit of breaking news. Lazar Markovic has just gone on loan to Hull City. That's just been confirmed. Lazar Markovic is going on loan to Hull City. Thank you very much to my producer for bringing me that one. Go for it, Dave.
You just looked over my shoulder as if there's somebody else who's your producer there.
But you have many caps in here.
No,
many caps.
No, listen, I think. The stuff, particularly Gareth will know, I do with Neil and the Anfield Rap lads. I don't hate Liverpool in the traditional sense that most Evertonians do. I even take flack from my own fan base of Evertonians.
That's why it surprised me.
But there's just times when it's funny. I'm sure Gareth will reciprocate this because that's what he's on about when he runs their social media accounts. You do like the needle now and again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's all it is. It's like, the only reason that was my instinctive reaction then was because as soon as Liverpool got back to 2-1, which was immediately after Swansea scored the second, I thought, game over, this, Liverpool will win it. I was looking on my in-play bet account to see what odds I could get on Liverpool because it had it written all over it, and it was more surprise than genuine joy. Because
no, it definitely looks expect, genuine joy. Definitely.
But you'd expect Liverpool to win games like that after even 2-0 down. I think it's a bookie's nightmare when that happens at Anfield because look, is that the first defeat in a year, isn't it? Under Klopp at Anfield. So, no, I don't have any genuine hatred for them, like most.
Sorry, just thought I'd put that one there. I genuinely felt like I was stabbed in the heart.
Are we getting pelters from Liverpool fans who actually like me now?
But let's get on to Everton. It feels like the roles have been reversed very much in the last 6 weeks. We sat here 6 weeks ago and maybe 8 weeks ago when Liverpool fans were sitting there, chest puffed out, head up, second in the league, potentially top of the league, second in the league, top of the league, and Everton were struggling. And then 6 weeks in football is a long, long time, is it not, Louis?
It sure is, mate, yeah. Especially Dave. you know what? I was saying to Gareth in the lift there before, you know, we always talk about Devon in terms of Whitby being a Red, but I have got an affection for Everton, and I always try and say, look, you know, they'll finish below the top seven, and, you know, they're a mediocre mid-table team. We're all great respect, but I think...
How patronising can you say? Honestly,
do you know what? I think Koeman's got something going on. Now, a few Evertonians, correct me right or wrong, Dave, were a bit disappointed with him a few weeks ago, you know, for whatever reasons and this and that. Now, one thing I think he's getting off the players now is respect. Mm. If you don't do as I say, you won't play. Now, we've spoke loads of times as a player, if you don't do as the manager tells you, well, you don't expect to play. If you want to go and do your own thing, likes of Adele Feo, if you like, he's off to AC Milan, isn't he? He's not doing what Koeman wants him to do. So guess what, son? You can go and play some games somewhere else and potentially the door might be still open for you. But if not, you can move on.
Mm.
Now, you know, obviously like what he's doing with the kids in terms of Davis, and he's having faith in with them. But look, as I say, Everton are always in a position to go that next step. Now, what I'd like as a fan, not an Everton fan, but just as a football fan, is I'd like to see Everton spend some money in the right areas. I want the chairman or the new owner to get his money out, because that's what all the Evertonians want. Now, people are saying, oh, he's kidding us, he's this, he's that, the new ground and what so, but I think Everton have got something going on, which, and Dave will tell you over the show over the years, I want to have going on, because I want to see Liverpool and Everton in Champions League. I want to see both teams breaking the top four, like the United clubs have been doing over the years. I want Merseyside to get back to having that. Mm. You know, the friendship, the relationships, the banter, whatever you want to call it. I'd love nothing better to see Everton and Liverpool in the Champions League.
Do you believe that?
He does.
Do believe what he's saying,
It's only good for the city. I want Everton to get a new ground. It's only good for the city. I don't want them to ever be as good as Liverpool, but I want them to be up there. And that's, that, honestly, I always have banter and I'll throw slight digs at him, but I do want it.
Mm. It genuinely is one of
Gareth's poking eyes at me. It's like a laser going right through my skull.
That is what's that genuine.
He's like.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons I genuinely do love working in the station. Yeah. I genuinely do love. That's why it was like a kick in the heart watching you punch the air when Liverpool went 3-2 down the other day.
But that's the thing. I think that's misconstrued these days as being some sort of hatred, because Lowy's right there. You go back years ago and you get, I'd say, the bulk of Liverpool fans saying, well, I'd happily have Everton finish second if Liverpool won the league.
Yeah.
I think that's gone for, I don't care if Liverpool win the league, I hope Everton get relegated. Do you know what I mean? That's the mindset now, because I think there's a lot of hatred and bitterness.
Dave, on that, do you think there's a bit more hatred than bitterness, right? Because I know Liverpool come out, didn't he, with a statement saying he'll never share a ground with Everton.
Mm.
What would have happened if we'd have built a 100,000-seater stadium on the docks or wherever it was, and it was a mixture, like an AC Milan into Milan? What do you think would have happened then? Do you think it would have brought the two clubs closer, or do you think it would have been the same divide?
I couldn't ever see it changing, to be honest with you, because I think, if anything, it'd probably intensify it, given the fact that there'd be a competition every week over who sold it out, or who had the more fans in the ground, and... I think it intensified the relationship between them both.
It wouldn't have worked, was it? I mean, you need your own identity, and, you know, for all that, I'm actually similar to you, Ryan, in that, you know, I will say that it is good when Everton are doing well, and I wish we could return to where it's us outdoing each other at the top. Mm. I mean, any time I'm asked about some of my favourite memories as a Red, one of my top ones that I'll always say, definitely in my sort of top three, is beating Everton in the 86 FA Cup final. That was absolutely brilliant.
Because Everton were good, though.
Yeah, Everton were a great side, and, like, you know, first half battered us, and then we come back to win it. And that's still one of my best memories as a Red, and that was a good time, and I don't like that, you know, the focus has shifted to Manchester, to London and all the rest of it. And like you say as well, it is good for the city. If Everton do get this stadium on the docks, you know, that'll be... breathing life into an area of town that needs money, that needs something. You know, you go down there, it's not great. And this could genuinely help to transform the city and bring the city up. So great.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. That is the voice of Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rap. His first time ever here and all in the game in the guise in which it is in the moment. Regular and the youngest looking man in the room at 57 years of age. Professional footballer, Ryan Lowe, and David Downey from the Blue Room. Incidentally, there's some nice Blue Room action and footage and news to bring you over the next couple of weeks. We're not going to put the cart before the horse with that, but there's some lovely Blue Room stuff coming up in the weeks to come, and make sure you stay with me here in full time and we will keep you abreast of all of that. Right, I'm looking here. Gerard Deulofeu has joined AC Milan on loan until the end of the season. This is the Everton website, evertonfc.com. 22 years of age. That's the bit that I still can't get my head around. He always seems like 27, 28, 29. And I'm looking at the picture of him. I've never met the man. This might be unfair of me to say this. He always looks a little bit out of shape. He almost looks nothing like a footballer. You know, you're the epitome of what a footballer should look like. There isn't a peck of meat on you, right? He takes the stairs up here to Radio City Talk. He doesn't take the lift. He goes up the 700 stairs.
Used to. 5 years ago.
Is this one of the reasons? Is fitness? Because he always seems to be a step behind.
His fitness is a massive concern, and I think that's probably what Koeman identified when he first walked through the door. He's obviously given him a chance to sort that out, and just hasn't happened, and he doesn't seem to have the desire to put that right. He could be a really good player. You don't go to Barcelona, mature yourself through their ranks unless you're a good talent or a top talent with fantastic technical ability. But it just goes to show you that, I mean, I'm one of the Premier League's biggest critics when it comes to people saying it's the best league in the world and all that sort of thing. But the one thing you do have to have is supreme fitness to get
so
on
know,
in it.
You know, you're saying fitness, in terms of what? Obviously, I don't watch him play.
He's blowing out of his backside, Lowie, when he gets on. After 20 minutes, he's standing there. Do you remember Joe Cole for Liverpool?
Yeah.
Exactly the same as that. Yeah. Hands on hips. Not tracking back, which, you know, there's a lot of arguments to be said. You don't want a winger tracking back. You want them to stay out wide, get the ball and attack. But he's
not doing it.
He just wasn't doing it at all, and there was no sign of it improving.
So did you know from inside that it was a fitness thing, that it was a big... Because I look at Deulofeu, and we had this conversation about Barkley, didn't we, a few years ago, about having a trust. Barkley, young, naive, coming onto the scene, and players like your Jagielkas and your Baines and your Barrys wanting to give him the ball, but they don't really want to give him it because he may be a risk. He might try something, not stupid, but he might try something that he's learnt as a younger boy, and a step over and give the ball away, and then, you know, they're on a counter attack. That's what Deulofeu reminds me of. You can't trust him, because you'll give him the ball, he'll go on a mazy run, he'll leave it, and then he won't track back. So then what happens then is you've got a counter-attack going down the left or the right-hand side, and it could end up costing you a goal somewhere along the line. So I look at Deulofeu, when you're saying about fitness there, I can't believe, in all honesty, he's not fit, if that's the case. Yeah. Now,
is it he's just not up to the pace of the Premier League because he was back? He played in a different league, and
it's his third season in the Premier League. But Unai Emery said the same of him, that he wasn't anywhere near the fitness level.
He's not living his life properly, is he?
And that's in Spain, where he could probably get away with it a little bit more because it's more technically.
That's the exact question I was going to ask. Will he get away with it a little bit more in Italy, lads? What do you reckon?
I ain't seen the Italian league for a while, but
I think it's good for him. It's a really good move for him. Personally, in terms of him as an Everton player, I'd drive him to the airport because he's been infuriating.
He's after the taxi out there.
Yeah, honestly, I'll drop him off and he doesn't have to pay me. But he's infuriating. He's been given more than enough chances to prove himself. He's a mercurial talent. He's another one of these players, and I think there was a growing danger of this happening, certainly under Roberto Martinez, and we're seeing Koeman trying to fix this now, that a lot of players arrive at Everton and think they've made it, and that's just simply not the case. I mean, you look at some of the attitudes in the squad in the last couple of years, and ones that are there now who Koeman's slowly starting to wean off, the fact that they think they're the big I am, and I'm talking about maybe Lukaku, who we know probably is as good as he thinks he is, but he's not right now, and I think that's been a problem for him. Morales, similarly. I look at players across that squad and think, well, why do you feel as if you're better than what you are? And I think that's been a massive problem at the club for a long time.
I don't think it's his fitness, mate. I think it's his attitude.
Yeah.
Because
goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Because it's an attitude to being fit.
He's obviously training with the first team now. Unless you do an extra training now, you know, I would have thought the lads who play on in our position anyway, in our teams, the lads who play on a Saturday, you don't really do extra late on in the week. But early on in a week, you might do your own little sprints, you're short and sharp. But I think with Deulofeu there, if he's training with the first team day in, day out, he's surely marrying the fitness of the rest of the lads in the wingers, in Morales and whatnot. And 9 times out of 10, he'll do sessions with wingers and they'll be doing the same type of running. So I don't think it's his fitness. I think it's his attitude towards his fitness. Yeah. Does he want to work? Does he want to run? Does he want to run for the team? Does he want to get a clean sheet for your team? Does he want to win you the game? Well, he might want to win you the game going that way, but he might not want to win you the game coming back.
There's a problem with it is what he was doing on the pitch when he was getting a chance as well, because he was coming on, and I think the lads that desperate to make an impression, he's trying all these fancy flicks and step-overs, which are great at certain times in games. They work. But he become a bit of a one-trick pony in that regard. And the one thing that you can't argue was quality from him in his time was his distribution. I mean, he wasn't doing that enough.
Is this very much down to the way Koeman set up the team? Because there's been three or four different identities to how Koeman's team plays. You look at Klopp's team, you know what's going to happen, right? Mm. It's quite predictable, and we'll get on to that after 5:30, because that could be one of the problems. But sometimes I think Everton should use that to their advantage. You never know what way they're going to set up. But it also means the players like, well, Blasius got injured, obviously. It means players like Morales. We didn't know where he was playing for X amount of months there. He's got this free role now that seems to be working all right with him. If we had patience and maybe having a different system, would that have done Deulofeu any good? And could he hung around? Or is this best for all concerned?
I think it's best for all concerned, because the early part of the season when Lukaku wasn't fit for the first half dozen games, I think, when he was just slowly getting back from his time at the Euros, Deulofeu was operating in almost like a central role as a striker, and that's where Koeman played him in pre-season when Lukaku wasn't there. And that didn't seem to work. He scored a couple of goals against a couple of pub sides, but that's about it really.
Right, you are listening to All in the Game. I'll be back in a wee second. Right, we'll get more Everton talk. We love your thoughts on this at Radio City Talk. But before we do that, I know Laurie loves this part of the week. I've got a lovely question for you that you've got a wee bit of time to mull over and try and come up with the answer as to what
are
I'm going to say.
Proper questions now.
I got it right this week.
The ones last week were right.
I made a bit of a mistake.
He doesn't like the early answer, does he?
Should be a forfeit for that, shouldn't he, Dave?
Yeah, there should be. Should be something he has to do.
Doesn't like the early answer. I'm creating theatre of the mind here.
Yeah, that's right. But if you're saying that, I mean, I got one bob on it within 30 seconds last week, and you told me it was wrong just because you wanted to carry it on.
And I had it written down there for 30 minutes.
And then he starts going, you've clearly looked at your phone.
I remember, before I did this job, I was a teacher, right? I taught for about 18 months of my life. This is just like having a classroom of P4s.
No way.
Sir, you said we didn't know.
Robbo, the teacher's pet over there.
Behave.
Jordan Henderson roll over there.
You just sit in the middle, you splay balls left, right and centre, and you'll get full kudos for what you do in the show today from the Anfield Rap.
Come on, then, give us it before you go.
Right, with the African Cup of Nations on at the moment, Wilfred Bony became the 7th player from the Ivory Coast to make over 100 Premier League appearances. Name the other 6. It's not as difficult as you think. The Ivory Coast have produced some sensational footballers throughout the years. Right, just get writing them down. Don't share them with the radio public just as of yet. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll run through some of the rights, and I can tell you right now, the wrongs that are on that paper. There's a surprise.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
Radio City Talk, 26 minutes after 5. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time. Every single Monday evening, we are joined by some of the most foremost expert opinions in local, national and international football, as we're finding out tonight. They can't make it this evening, I'm afraid. So I am joined by Gareth Roberts.
Speak international.
From the Anfield Rap. Also Ryan Lowe, he's a professional footballer with Crewe, and David Downey from the Blue Room. So the breaking news is Markovic is on his way on loan from Liverpool via Sporting Lisbon back to Hull, we're hearing this afternoon. So more on that in the sport in about 5 or 10 minutes.
Tell him about that, Connor. Just tell him that joke. That was quality.
Who are we talking? Just during the
John
break. Is John Otsemabo come in? We're talking about people, and obviously every time we talk about people who are from other nations playing for another nation. Being an Ireland fan, I always get half a dozen thrown at me anyway, and I'm delighted all those actually going to be here in an hour's time, so we can ask him. So we were talking about John Otsemabo. He had played a few games for Liverpool, hadn't he?
He didn't really get much of a go. I don't think he was fancied, was he? He can't remember him. He got a start and then he got hooked at half time, and then we never really seen much. He's more famous for being shot in the bum, isn't he?
Yeah. I've seen
the hole as well.
Louis said,
was it one side or the other?
Louis had said, Lillian said during this is just getting out of control. Lillian said during the break that he played with three different clubs, and he was talking about the African Cup of Nations. And I said, "What country is he from?" And Lillian answered with,
"Speak."
So listen, it's all about your heritage.
People's Republic of Speak.
And who's behind you. Right, listen, we're looking at the reason we're talking about the African Cup of Nations. Wilfred Bony made an appearance in the Premier League this week. He becomes the seventh player from the Ivory Coast to make 100 or more Premier League appearances. Can you name the other six? Dave, have you got some for me?
Yeah. So the Touré brothers.
Yaya and Kolo.
Yeah. Drogba. Salomon Kalou, who I think's nailed on. And I only say that because I've seen him play for the Ivory Coast. And the last one Lowy threw in, which I'm not sure if he's from the Ivory Coast, is Emmanuel Abue.
Lowy. Great shout.
Yes.
Is he?
Great shout, yes. They are all...
Gareth, come on, mate. You've got to step up. We need one more.
They are all absolutely correct. Every single one of them is correct. Yaya, the two Torres, or the Kolo and the Yayas. Let me see. Drogba, Kalou and Abue. There is one more, right?
Give us a clue then, because we've done well there with them six, five.
He's no longer playing in the Premier League. There's a clue for you.
Is he still playing, though?
He's still playing. Okay, so there's one for you, okay? So we're approaching 5:30. We'll give you some news and headlines in a sec. Didn't say the championship. I just said he's playing, did you? You can say what you want. Use that and put it on a little pedestal. Right, we've got about a minute just to finish off the Everton chat. Dave, really upbeat time to be an Everton fan at the moment.
Until next week.
No, but it's decent. It still means, though, it's that thing we spoke about, and every Everton fan has communicated with this show for the last 6 months, is it's the next... purchases. It's the next step that Everton take, because they've done this before. It's just they haven't kicked on. You have about a minute to tell me.
Yeah, the false dawns are what we do best. And I totally expected us to go to Palace at the weekend and lose with Big Sam needing his first win in charge. And that didn't happen. So, you know, maybe it is the start of something. The acid test will be in the next four games, because we've got Bournemouth, Stoke, Sunderland and Middlesbrough. Two at home, two and away. I think we go to Stoke a week on Wednesday. That'll be a really tough game, Stoke on a Wednesday night, the shout everyone uses. But I'm seeing things coming together, and I wrote about it over the weekend, because the first five games of the season, we won four, drew one. But you always felt as if things were on a knife edge with that. We won a couple of games 1-0, where got elements of luck. I think Leighton Baines scores a penalty against Stoke, comes off the post, it's Shea giving in the air.
Your 1 minute has just elapsed.
I do apologise. Okay, well, yeah, to put in a nutshell then, we've won four, drew one of the last five. I see a lot of difference in this one. First of all, we have options in midfield, and we've got a side that's trying to score goals, and we look a little bit more clinical as well.
Decent keeper. I'm saying he looks decent.
Well, yeah, he does. He's certainly the best keeper we've got, which I've banged on about for ages, but looks like Koeman's finally realising that as well.
Right, it is Radio City Talk, 5:30. Let's see what Victoria Glover is going to bring us the news at 6 o'clock. Here's your headlines.
The family of Merseyside policeman Paul Briggs say they hope their right to die victory will stop other families suffering the same heartbreak. The 43-year-old had been in a coma for 18 months after a road accident, and his family had to go through a lengthy court battle to get his treatment withdrawn. Paul finally passed away at the weekend. They're now urging people to make living wills to avoid a similar situation. Steve Rotherham's vowed he'll make the Mersey tunnels cheaper and faster for drivers if he becomes Merseyside's new Metro Mayor. He's launched his campaign today and promised to cut the price for fast tag users to £1 a journey and introduce contactless payments at the barriers. And in sport, Jurgen Klopp says Steven Gerrard's coaching role at Liverpool's academy is the first step in him becoming a manager. His new role starts next month, and Klopp says he's excited for him.
When a person like Steven Gerrard is ready to make the steps, that's wonderful news for football. Combining then the play experience with all the things you learn from now on, bright future.
There's a full update online.
This is Radio City Talk Sport.
Just a quick update on your sport before we go back to All in the Game. Ronnie O'Sullivan created history as he sealed a record seventh Masters title after coming back to defeat Joe Perry 10-7 at the Alexander Palace last night. O'Sullivan's victory means he has now surpassed Stephen Hendry's tally of six Masters trophies. In football, Ryan Mason is conscious and talking again after suffering a fractured skull during a Premier League game at Chelsea last evening. The Hull City midfielder was stretchered off at Stamford Bridge yesterday after a clash of heads with Gary Cahill. And finally, Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger Wenger has been charged by the FA after an altercation during Arsenal's 2-1 win over Burnley in the Premier League. Wenger, who was sent to the stands by the referee, was being ushered down the tunnel as Stewart had to come between he and fourth official Taylor, and the Frenchman has got until 6 p.m. on the 26th of January to respond to the charge. That's all your sport on Radio City Talk.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
In the studio, Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Wrap joins me, a professional footballer and coach, manager, everything. He's got all the badges. He's more badges than a Boy Scout, this fella. Ryan Lowe joins me, and David Downey from the Blue Room joins me as well. How is are you still looking after doing bits with the kids and stuff? And how are you getting on? How are you enjoying yourself?
What, coaching?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, love it. Sunday team, brilliant. I told you, didn't I? We finished in the top half of the group in the Bootland Lidl League. Credit to the kids. There's 13 teams in it, and we finished joint fifth, I think it was. And but the top 14 from there, we can't really beat. It was the good teams, you know. But we played one last week, got beat, well, the week before, 2-0, who beat us 8-0 previous. And then we played another team Sunday, who previously beat us, I think it was 8-0, who beat us 6-0. So there's a little bit of improvement with the goal tallies.
How do you find it?
Do you know what? What it is with the kids, look, all kids are at different levels. You've got some good kids, some average kids, some kids who are not as quite good as the others. And you've got some kids who you play against who are a little bit special in terms of what they can do. And, you know, kids, our team's under 11s, so some kids can whack the ball 30, 40 yards. Some kids can't whack it 10 yards. It's just the difference. But listen, it's great that the kids take it on board. I've had them now. This is our third season. We come from getting beat 6, 7, 12, 13, 14 ones, 14 2. And they haven't half developed. And it's a credit to themselves, to be fair. But they listen and learn. And the minute they stop listening and learning, they can go and find another team.
Like every other walk of life, you never stop learning. Who knows? We could hear Ryan Lowe coaching somewhere at some stage in the future. Good to have you with us, Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Wrap. It's almost a disappointment to have you in here, because I wanted you in here after a Liverpool win and Liverpool building momentum. It just doesn't feel like it has happened in 2017.
No, the Swansea game was sort of like a culmination of not playing that well for some time, really. I think even the City results on New Year's Eve, I mean, it was more one that they ground out rather than they played well and with any sort of fluid football, really. And yeah, it sort of feels like it's come. I mean, you know, Old Trafford, I thought we fought well there as well, and we got a decent result. Disappointing to sort of concede when we did. But you still come away and thought, you know, 1-1 at Old Trafford's okay. We'll beat Swansea and we'll be flying. And then, yeah, to lose that and to lose it in the manner that he did, it did feel like, you know, a sort of a huge bubble bursting, if you like. And it's a big test now about how you pick them up for this cup semi on Wednesday. And, you know, I think Klopp's done his press conference today. He's saying all the right things. He doesn't look like a broken man or anything like that. I imagine he's a fella, if you're going into training, he can lift you.
Weirdly, with the fixtures coming thick and fast, weirdly, for the first time, I think this is the best thing that could happen to Liverpool, that there's a game on Wednesday. Momentum, surely.
Can system. I just throw something in there about that, though? I think he made a massive mistake in letting that Plymouth game go to a replay. I think that was catastrophic for Liverpool. Considering the players he felt he had to put in that
time. I think that's slightly unfair with Plymouth as well. It's not Plymouth.
You know what?
I'm not talking about how well Plymouth played. I'm saying, who did he play against Plymouth in the first game that were first choice players?
Yeah, but
not half a dozen.
No, listen, I understand where you're coming from there, Dave, but I don't think he could handle what was going on the pitch. What do you do? Do you leave the kids to see if they're going to sink or they're going to swim?
But I'm a huge believer, now, and we've said it at the show as well, and you said it, Louis, as well, I'm a huge believer in, when are these kids going to get first-team football?
No, listen, I know, and do you know
with
what?
65, 75,
how do you reconcile that with the fact that you need less games? Because he's spoken quite a lot about how tiredness features in how many games Liverpool have per season. I mean, Marco van Basten's coming out saying that players can't play more than 60 games a season and things like that. I just think hindsight's a wonderful thing, as we all know, but I think if he approached that a little bit better and with a little bit more thought, Liverpool wouldn't have had to go.
I don't think it had anything to do with it, because
do you know what I think?
When they went to Plymouth, they played a week inside,
Who played in the dog? Coutinho played, didn't he? Sturridge played.
Coutinho was coming back from injury, though. He needed some minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the flip side is that people like...
Do you get what I'm saying,
I get what you're saying, but I sort of think there's a flip side to it as well in that. So for instance, we go to Old Trafford, you hear that Klein's out, and you're all right with Trent Alexander-Arnold going in, because you've seen him play, you know he's got minutes under his belt, and you know that he can cope. Okay, Old Trafford's massive, and that was his league debut, but he played with those players, had to go, and I think, you know, once that's out your system, it's massive. Then once you've played and thought, well, I handled myself okay, you're all right for next time. If he'd been his de facto debut and he'd never ever gone out on the pitch in red for the first team, then I think everyone would have been panicking, as it was they weren't.
Do you know what I think Klopp made that a bit of a bad mistake in? I was watching the game, watched the first half on the bus on my phone on the BT, and
he's got the unlimited data roaming, doesn't he?
He's got Sky on it, but not so anyway, I'm watching it, and it was crying out for two strikers. It was. Now I looked at it and I thought, oh my God, look at Swansea. They had 10 men behind the ball every opportunity. Now, fair play to them, and they've worked on it, because they're not. It was like Mourinho done coming to Anfield with United early doors. He parked the bus, he knew what he was doing. So why can't any other team do it? Now, what Klopp's got to realise for me is knowing when to make a change. He's seen that because he's a clever fella, he's a top manager. He could see that happening. He sat down in his chair, he was speaking to his assistant. I was watching him every time it went to him, and he's looking, thinking, and he's in deep thoughts, and I'm thinking, go on then, do it. Top managers, I'm not saying he's not a top manager.
But he did.
He changed it at half time.
Yeah. Are you talking about early in the first half?
Listen, I'm talking when it's you can't break them down now. Now we had, I think after 20 minutes, 77 or 78 possession. Yeah. I think that the commentator said you can't get any more possessions. That's what they had. So I'm thinking, go on, change it. Go and tell Firmino to stay up against the two centre-halves. You had Alfie Mawson, good little player. Come from League 2, a couple of years ago into the Championship. So test them, get Firmino on and bully him a little bit, because Firmino can do both. Now, I thought he made a bit of an ick up not putting a striker up there with them. All right, second half, we could have potentially gone on and won the game, but Lallana's missing, getting it back to 2-2. The other end cost us, obviously. But I think next time he'll realise that there was no two strikers up against two centre-halves. They just kept dropping off. And I thought Swansea dealt with it great. Mm. And then you go in there, because you can't score in it. 18-yard box to 18-yard, point to point. You compact that area, which they did very well, by the way, Swansea. And he tried to counter-attack, which they did very well. Mm-hmm. Liverpool couldn't open them up.
Gareth, is it the fact that you need to play Adam Lallana through the middle?
I was just going to say that. I think he's much better. He's shown that he's much better in a deeper role. He's been reinvented in that deeper role and looked great. And I think he knits the play together a lot better. And I think having Emre Can there almost hindered us.
He's doing my head in at the minute.
Yeah, he's really doing my head in a little bit. I'm not sure. I kind of don't get what he is almost. I mean, we've seen in the past him do good things in a Liverpool shirt. But at the moment, when I saw him on a pitch, say from the start, I just thought, same as Lowy says, you know, that there wasn't enough people who can score a goal on the pitch, really. You know, a really basic thing. And I just thought, when Lallana's there, he carries it from midfield. If you had Sturridge or Origi on from the start, that's another person you've got
behind, yeah.
And you're worried about them,
because
you know
they can score.
So it's
ultimately changing this three-man front three system and just making peace with that?
There's a few things, isn't there? I wrote a piece about the game, and I said it felt like a culmination of a load of things all coming together, and it led to us getting beat. I mean, we're missing Mane as well. I think everyone knows that, because of his pace, but also because you haven't got that pace inside as well. It's exposing the defence a little bit more and the positioning of the defence. And the Matip thing was another thing for me as well. I kind of thought, after all that battle to get FIFA to admit that he can play for us, that it's okay, throw him in. And Klopp's excuse on that one was, well, he didn't have the sessions with the side and all that sort of thing. But he's a footballer. He's a centre-half. He's been playing centre-half for years. If you'd have thrown him in, I'm sure he would have been fine. Mm. As it was, he ends up playing for the under-23s. He'll know how to play against Southampton. But that feels sort of after the event now. I think Liverpool will look much better defensively with him in the side, for obvious reasons.
I think on that, he's give Clavan a little bit of a... Go on, he's done okay, and he hasn't done bad, to be fair to him. He's done reasonably well, and
for a third three centre.
I thought he's done okay.
To be fair, and I like the way Klopp... You look at it and you think, well, yeah, change it, because you know you pick your best team. But then I think he showed a little bit of loyalty to Clavan, and it was no coincidence he didn't have the best of games, no Matip was on the bench. Now, you know, he's probably looking over his shoulder, I'm going to get dropped anyway. But he should be relishing the opportunity to think, you know what, I'm going to have a stormer, so he doesn't drop me, he doesn't leave me out the team. But back to the forwards, I think second half, you knew Liverpool had to go out and score goals, and they stayed up against the men, and, you know, Firmino's two goals were phenomenal. But they got a bit of contact then, they got in the box, Swansea didn't like it. But I think there's a little bit of a hoodoo in terms of the first half. He missed the boat a little bit.
Right, let's talk about the title race. Let's talk about Chelsea, who's in and around Liverpool, what they need to do. And I can't believe I'm saying this. What they need to do to finish in the top four. It looks like it is so tight up there, and we'll discuss that next in Radio City Talk. Before that, though, get your answers in to me. Right, we're not using Wilfred Zaha in here. We don't think he's played the requisite amount of games.
I think I've got the answer.
Right, we'll see what the situation is. Wilfred Bony became the seventh player from the Ivory Coast to make 100 Premier League appearances at the weekend. Can you name the other six? What are the six you have? Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. Five out of the six you have.
Yaya, Kolo, Torres, Drogba, Kalou. And a buoy.
Right, David Downey thinks he has the right answer. He will reveal that right answer next on Radio City Talk, potentially.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
It's Radio City Talk. You're listening to All in the Game with Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rop, Ryan Lowe, professional footballer, David Downey from the Blue Room. I'm Connor Phillips with you till 6:30 this evening. The legends are here, they're in the building. They're going to be with us from 6:30. John Aldridge and Graham Sharp in here with Steve Hothersall. Quick bit of football news for you. Liverpool's Serbian forward Lazar Markovic has joined Hull on loan for the remainder of the season. He too is only 22, similar to Gerard Deulofeu, who is now gone on loan to AC Milan as well, from the blue half of Merseyside. Justin Pate, in case people say I'm not balancing it up. Right, so I'm asking you a couple of minutes ago about, let me see, Wilfred Bony became the seventh player from the Ivory Coast to make 100 Premier League appearances at the weekend. There are six more. The lads have five of them. David Downey from the Blue Room sits in front of me with a wry smile on his face. You don't normally give me an answer that's not right. It's usually well thought out, and I'm usually quite confident it's going to be the right answer. Who is the seventh player?
Cheikh Tiote of Newcastle United.
So, you're saying the two Toures, Kolo and Yaya, Didier Drogba, Solomon Kalou, Emmanuel Abue, and who's it? Cheikh Tiote is the absolute 100% right answer. Well done, lads.
Come on, Davey boy.
First time the boys have got it pre 6 o'clock. Thanks to everybody who sent us a tweet on this one. I can go through some of the tweets now. We've given you the right answers. Thank you to Luke, who sent us a message. He's saying Kolo, Yaya, Didier Drogba, Kalou, Cheikh Tiote and Wilfred Zaha. We'll count Zaha if anyone gives us that answer. I don't think he's made 100 Premier League appearances yet, but just as a congratulations to him.
100 games in England only, I imagine.
Yeah, no, he's played over 200 times for Crystal Palace, but a lot of those in the Championship as well. You have to remember 60-odd. And he played twice for Man United.
Yeah.
Twice.
The other one I was thinking of was Jovinho, but he didn't play enough games for Arsenal, I don't think.
No, it was that headband of his got in the way quite a few times.
The roots of his hair is like weird.
Start
his hair
at the back.
Bit weird.
Right, lads, we have a few more minutes to talk about Liverpool and what potentially Liverpool could be doing towards now in the end of the season. It genuinely has got to the point, Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rap, that we have to start thinking about top four. It feels really weird having been top of the Premier League. Well, look at Spurs.
Negativity.
Well, hang on, though. Spurs apparently are title contenders, and they're only, a point ahead of Liverpool. So how does this work?
You tell me.
Well, I don't know how this works.
Well, it makes me laugh because everybody said the top six is a closed shop. But, yeah, Liverpool and Spurs are in the title race, as are City and Chelsea. I don't think there is a title race. I think Chelsea have waltzed it now. If they go unbeaten at Anfield, which is a big ask, if they take 3 points from the next two, which is Arsenal and Liverpool, I think they've won it. But regardless of that, we're only 5 points off sixth, Man United in sixth. Yeah, a lot of people are telling me that top six is unreachable. Yeah, the teams that are 10 points plus behind Chelsea are still in the title race.
I think United drawing with Stoke the other day did Everton no harm. And I said it to you before.
So did Liverpool drawing with them as well.
But that's what I said to you as well. I said to you that Everton are, not that they're going to be in the top four, I'm just saying they're closer to Manchester United than people think they are.
Well, closer to United than we are to eighth place, I think.
Do you know what, though? Look, Chelsea are going to have a blip. I'm telling you now.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
So they're going to go, how many more games? The 20? No,
I think they'll lose points. I think they'll do what United are doing at the moment, playing well and drawing matches. Yeah, that will happen. I don't think they're going to lose three games, and I also don't think that they're going to lose three games and Liverpool will go on a run that's strong enough to sustain that. I don't think Spurs
are
good enough.
You don't think you can lose three games? Why not?
I just don't think.
Souness said it right yesterday.
Of course he can.
Souness was brilliant on this yesterday. He was saying that he thinks Chelsea haven't got a full-on blip in them. He thinks that they'll have slip-ups, they'll draw a game, lose a couple somewhere here or there, but they won't go through a run where they'll lose four out of the next five or something like that.
Yeah, so there you go. If you lose a couple and draw a couple, there's three losses.
I think
but then Liverpool have to pick up maximum points.
Well, Liverpool are having a bit of a blip now, aren't we?
10 points is a massive gap, isn't it? It's a massive gap.
It is, but...
with less than half the season
to go. It's been done before. Who done it? Who done it a couple of years ago? Newcastle have done
15 points for Christmas.
Done it? United done it, didn't they, when they won the league? Who did they take it off? United.
It was Newcastle, wasn't it? It was Newcastle who let it go.
For Liverpool to do it, they just need they need everyone fit. That's the problem. I don't think Liverpool have got the strength and depth. We saw that. No. That's why they've had this blip. I think Liverpool's first 11 can beat anyone in the league and has done already, basically. And if the first 11 was fit and firing, then I think we could go to the end of the season unbeaten. But we're going to have to lean on the kids, and particularly when we stay in the... I expect us to stay in both cup competitions once this week's over. And that's more games, and that's more times you've got to lean on the squad. And I think that the squad's been shown up a little bit this month and the end of December as well. I think some of the, you know, Klopp's great at wanting to develop the players, wanting to bring the kids through, but I just don't think some of them are quite ready or quite got the quality, to be honest. I mean, I get that he wants to be he wants the team to be better than just a group of individuals. But I just don't understand why he doesn't want to work with some better individuals in the first place, if you know what I mean. I just feel we're lacking a little bit of star quality.
At what point do you prioritise cups, though? Because you say you beat Southampton, which I expect you to overturn that on Wednesday. That happens, it's likely going to be Man United in the final.
Well, yeah, and who doesn't want to beat Man United in the final at Wembley?
Yeah.
Like, literally, if you're talking about you don't want to win the League Cup, when there's an opportunity to beat Man United at Wembley, then you're basically doing football wrong.
Liverpool
haven't won a cup for 5 years.
But does that not put Klopp at a crossroads in terms of what you prioritise this season? Because obviously, yeah, okay.
Why not prioritise them all?
But that's what's difficult, isn't it? That's what he's proved. That's what he, in fairness, that's what he's complained about, is the amount of games that he has on his plate. I think you reach this and you think, well, say for instance, when's the final? Liverpool must have an important game. I think the final's around
February,
back end of February, isn't it? I think you have Spurs around that time as well, within like a week's distance. Say, what's your prioritised there, Lowie? If you've got that on a Sunday and say you're going to Spurs, and then you've got an FA Cup game in the middle of all that as well.
I just keep playing your strongest teams.
Every time.
I think Klopp now.
Impossible though, isn't it?
No, I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. I see this. Look, Klopp might be making excuses, and not excuses, I shouldn't really say that about him, but he might be using it as I don't know what he's using it for, but for me, if you've got a final against Man United to potentially, as Gareth said, beat Man United and win a cup all day long, no danger.
Do you go with your top team tomorrow night then, or Wednesday? Is Wednesday night?
I think they've got him. I think now, for Liverpool to go on and do anything this year in terms of win cups, win the league, finish fourth, or stay in the top four, Liverpool have to play their strongest team and strongest players week in, week out from now on.
Love your thoughts on this. 01517 08 10 59. Before we head towards news, just very quickly, a little bit of a Liverpool chat. Steven Gerrard returning to the club as one of the academy directors / coaches working with the under 23s. It's one of those roles. Nobody's fully sure what's happened. Other players have done it before. And, you know, you then become pigeonholed as this youth manager. Who's going to take Gerrard seriously if he's doing the under-23 role? You never see too many under-23 managers kicking on into professional football.
I think he's got to start somewhere, though, hasn't he? And I think it's good that Liverpool have given the role, and it's good that he's taken the role, because I think previously, like, for instance, when Brendan Rodgers was there, I don't think you'd bring Steven Gerrard back to the club when Brendan Rodgers is there, because Steven Gerrard's basically bigger than Brendan Rodgers. Mm. But now you've got Jurgen Klopp, who's comfortable with Steven Gerrard being around. He's even talking today about saying, you know, this man wants to be a manager and I'm happy to help him get there. Yeah. That's fantastic for me. You know, bring fellas who know the club inside out and give them a role at the club. That's what Liverpool have done. That's what I've been personally crying out for years. I think there's other places where Liverpool should be doing it. For me, John Barnes should be involved at the club. He's a great football mind. I think, you know, his managerial career didn't go where you wanted to go, but sort of off the pitch, if you like. I think get John Barnes involved. Yeah.
Do you think he had much of a choice though, whether he wanted to or not, Klopp? If Steven Gerrard wants to come back to Liverpool, nobody's really.
Steven Gerrard comes back to Liverpool.
I think I get the impression, I really do, that Jurgen Klopp is pretty much in charge of everything. He is a de facto football leader at Liverpool now. And you hear the things he talks about. You know, he talks about Melwood and Kirby merging and all this sort of thing. He's getting involved in that side of stuff. Whereas, again, going back to Rodgers, he felt like the coach and he was always moaning about things above him and his hands being tied and all this. It feels to me like Klopp is the closest to almost like and you're all going to laugh because he used the name. But, you know, a Shankly-type figure almost, where he's the figurehead at the top, and everything that goes on is up to him. Up so to he's him. Happy with Gerrard to come back, I think. I genuinely believe it.
Right, coming up after 6 o'clock, we'll move away. We'll sashay to the right away from Liverpool and Everton. We'll talk about Ryan Mason. He obviously had a tough weekend. Arsene Wenger looks like he could be in a bit of trouble. Wayne Rooney has become a record breaker over the weekend. Bravo at City. It is not bravo, if you ask me. And of course, we'll talk about all the other big results right throughout the weekend. You're listening to All in the Game on Radio City Talk. Full time, I'm Conor Phillips, joined in the studio from Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rap, professional footballer and a man with more badges than a Boy Scout. What would I call you? Coach? Yeah, Coach Ryan Lowe and David Downey from the Blue Room. We'll be back with you straight after the news next.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Now, full time on Radio City Talk.
It is Radio City Talk, 3 minutes after 6 on a Monday evening, which means we are all in the game. 90 minutes solid football chat. We've already had an extensive chat about Everton, about Liverpool as well, where things are going right, where things are going wrong. And let's dip into the rest of the league. I'm joined in the studio by Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rap and Ryan Lowe, professional footballer. David Downey from the Blue Room is in the building as well. So good afternoon, or good evening, lads, I should say. Right, you did well on the quiz. For anyone who has just tuned in, the quick question we had, I don't think we've ever got one before 6 o'clock, have we?
No, because most of the time yours are false questions.
I made one mistake last week.
I'm only joking.
So let me see. The African Cup of Nations is on at the moment. Wilfred Bony made his 100th Premier League appearance. There's only been 7 players from the Ivory Coast who have done this, which is quite a good number. So we're asking you who it was. It was Kolo Touré, Yaya Touré, Didier Drogba, Solomon Kalou, Emmanuel Eboué, and the one that caught a few people out that Dave Downey from the Blue Room got is Cheick Tiote. Right, so congratulations. Well done if you got that. If you didn't, don't worry about it. Ryan Lowe didn't. He doesn't really worry about too much. Right, lads, let's dip into some of the other stories making the front pages, or indeed back pages, this morning. Ryan Mason is conscious now and talking after he suffered a fractured skull during the Premier League game at Chelsea. It was a scary moment. We don't get too many of these in the Premier League. It was a proper moment. And then when you hear what happened after it and stuff, like, as a professional footballer, Louis, does this stuff ever go through your head? Because, you know, you play 5-a-side and you get a bit of a niggle. And
It doesn't. But, you know, boxers, I look at them and I think, and I've got a lot of friends who are boxers, and I look at them, thank God you got out of that ring safe and sound. Because one punch, as it's proven over the years. But I understand why people pray to God and all that now and sign the cross going on the pitch, because these people are... You're going on that football pitch. Your life in some points is in danger for similar situations like so what's happened to Ryan Mason, which hopefully he's up speaking and hopefully he's going to have a full recovery and can continue to play football because he's a quality player. But you do at times, you know, you look at tackles, you look at head injuries, you look at neck injuries, you look at topping over and breaking your back. These things you can do in football don't, because it's very rarely thought of and very rarely happens, people don't think about it, but you're going on that football pitch and your life is in danger, no matter what, for like so what's happened with Ryan Mason, an head injury, a clash of heads. You know, there's so many factors in it where you go on a football pitch, you're going on there, it is a blessing when you come off and you've, you know, got away with that one, or a tackle, or you got away with not breaking his leg, or doing this or doing that. So it's a sport that everyone loves, but it is a dangerous sport as well. And, you know, obviously over the years and years back, you're talking probably 10 years, the tackles that used to arise, and you think, well, you know, it's a man's game now and the tackles still should be going in. But I agree with it to an extent that the two-footed challenges and all this and the tackles from behind have been stamped out, which is rightly so, because it is a danger.
Is the game better for the way in which things have gone?
I was going to say, it's got better, hasn't it? Yeah, and I think any time now when there's a head injury, you know, everyone rightfully stops and they're pointing and saying, get on here, you know, get medical treatment, have a look. I think everyone knows now not to mess about with things like that. Whereas, you know, if you're watching footy in the 80s or whatever, there's people running on with, you know, the magic sponge and the bucket of water and saying, we'll just crack on with the game, mate. But, you know, I think with the player this weekend, you know, he's straight off to hospital, isn't he? Yeah. He's got doctors looking at him straight away. There's no messing about. There's no trying to play on and that sort of thing. And I think, you know, that's a good thing. The game has definitely moved on in that respect, that you don't mess around with injuries like that now.
What's the deal, Louis, with insurance and stuff there? I'm not for one second suggesting that that's Ryan Mason's career over. I'm sure he'll get back from this. What is the deal there from a footballer's perspective? I think I spoke to former Everton forward Norman Whiteside about insurance one time because he had to finish his career quite early. Do you have to have a big insurance policy or the club insure
what?
You?
Do you know what? I think you are firstly foremost insured by the club, and you know the other clubs like Chelsea, they're you know insurance for any stuff that goes on around that. But in terms of your own personal insurance, you can have your own personal insurance if you feel you know. Threatening injury. Now, me personally, I've never had a personal injury insurance. I've got my life insurance and all the stuff, but I've never had an injury insurance because I always felt that I obviously thought such would. I thought I'd never ever need it in terms of, you know, retiring through injury because, you know, it's in the back of your mind. Now, a lot of players now, especially these Premiership players who are on big, big money, they'll have their own football insurance, you know, for anything happens with injuries.
So it'll continue to pay their wages.
Oh, listen, yeah, their insurance will be millions and millions of pounds if they forever to finish through injury because the sport they're in and the wages that's around it. Now, you know, you look at any player, if he takes out a policy for the next 15, 10, well, what the average 10 years, 12 years of playing in the Premier League, and he signs a 5-year contract on 40, 50, 60 grand a week. Well, he needs something to cover that if anything happens through injury. He needs to have that, you know, he's obviously the lifestyle and whatever else, and, you know, the mortgages and the houses and his type. So players will have their own personal insurance injuries.
There's been a couple of Liverpool ones, hasn't there? I mean, you know, Rob Jones had to sort of retire 27, 28.
He never scored a goal.
No, I don't get it. Back then, the wages weren't that big, was it? Mm. So these players who have retired through it, I think now it's got bigger and bigger in terms of the money salaries.
Would he be looked after? So if he had insurance, say, for example...
Well, Rob Jones set up another business, didn't he, later? Like, he's got a nursery business with his wife, and so, you know, he went into a totally different field. I mean, he still does bits and bobs for football, but, you know, I've interviewed him a couple of times, and he said, like, he literally couldn't play football. I think he plays a little bit of Masters, but even then his knees ballooning up. So he got a payout against his career. But going back further, I mean, I think Lowy's right again there about... It was different years back. I mean, I remember Mike Marsh as well. You know, he played for Liverpool, looked a decent player, moved around a bit. I think he was at West Ham. And I think he had some kind of issue where, you know, he got fit again, but he was never as fit as he once was, if you know what I mean. And so he got some kind of payout. But I remember there was a deal with the payout, so I think he could only play sort of the top end of non-league, and I think he was playing for someone who got promoted to the league, and he couldn't
and
go
he
up with. He had to drop back down because it was against the insurance payout. You know, so if he went fully pro in a pro league again, he was almost breaking the rules of this insurance payout.
Norman Whiteside played a few games for Everton, didn't he? 20, 25 games for Everton. He was talking about it, the fact that he said that he was this young superstar. He was, you know, the youngest player ever to score in a World Cup, the youngest player ever to score in a competitive football match. And he was rimming with Brian Robson. And Brian Robson said to him, you know, have you got insurance yet? You've just got your first pro contract. Yeah, did you get insurance? And he was going, like, I can't afford it. He was like, it was 200 quid a week. Well, and he says, literally, Robson was saying, look, get this insurance. Anything happens, get this insurance. This will cover you. You'll get a few quid. And he wasn't going to do it. And then Robbo, from memory now, do correct me if I'm wrong, if you've ever heard the story from Norman, had given him a loan, or lent him a few quid, and says, look, just go and get it. Well, you can square me up, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he stopped playing football at 26, had the insurance, and luckily enough was able to get a few quid.
A player of our calibre, so in the League One, League Two, probably Championship, you're probably looking about anything from £200 to £400 a month to insure yourself, and that's probably for £200,000, £300,000. That's all. So, and with all due respect, you know, the players down our leagues, you're not earning £200,000 a year or £300,000 a year. Some lads don't earn £100,000 a year. Some lads don't earn £52,000 a year. So it's important that you have something. Now, the PFA, which is the Players Football Association, they do look after you in terms of with injuries, and they put you on the right road to recovery, and for scans and operations, they will pay for it because you that's what you pay into it for each month. But as far as the insurance goes, looking after yourself, if you know, I know lads who've had injuries and then ended up getting it, and then ended up getting a few little payouts to whatnot, but look, it's each of their own, isn't it?
You'd prefer to be playing football, wouldn't you? Like,
of course. And you know what? You should never think about you're going to have to retire through injury. But, like Sangi will have all his boys on it. You know what I mean? Majority of them anyway. The lads, as you said before, who can afford the extra £200 a month or £300, whatever it may be.
It can be over in an instant.
Oh, of course,
I mean, you know, there's a lad I know who, you know, he went to one of these soccer schools when he was a kid, and everyone was talking about how good he was and that he was definitely going to make it and all this sort of thing. about, he was only about 15, 16, he got a cruciate ligament. And no one's messing around fixing them when you're 15, 16 and you're not contracted to anyone.
Same as me. That's it. A friend of mine was talking to yesterday. He was at Man City, picked up an injury, went to play in Serie C in Italy, picked up an injury, didn't look after him, come back. He's got no cartilage in and around the ankle. And it's like, he plays a bit of Gaelic football and stuff with us. And he was like, no, just couldn't do it.
It's unbelievable.
Just can't go and do it.
Some clubs now, though, there's a kid, a crew, a young lad. I think he was on United's books. And he's a second year scholar now. He's just had a cruciate, a knee replacement. He's had the whole shebang. You look at the scars on his knees. It's like someone's played Oxo on it or something. You know what I mean? Honestly, he's got scars from left across down. Unbelievable. But crew have now got to show a little bit of loyalty to him to get him back fit, to get him back playing. And then when he's in a playing situation, to offload him or to keep him or whatever. But, you know, straight away at 16, 17 to have an operation. Like, now, he won't have insurance because he's probably on 90 quid a week, lives at home with his mum and dad. He can't go and afford £200 a month insurance. So sometimes I think with the insurance, I don't know whether anyone does it out there, but I think it'd be a good idea to get into the young kids, as you were saying, about, you know, giving them an insurance for £20 or £30 a month. That might just give them a couple of grand if they do finish to go and, I don't know, go and sit some GCSEs or go and do whatever they, buy a car, whatever they need to do to get to work. So I think it's important that the kids get something like that, some sort of help, because it's too much money.
That's why we love having you in the show, Louis. Good professional footballer's opinion on the way things are going. And obviously we wish him very well at Hull, Ryan Mason. He's
gonna, oh, yeah, 100%.
But hopefully, touch wood, it's going to be one of those things that, you know, he's okay in a number of weeks and we'll see him again this season. So let's just hope so. Let's touch on Wayne Rooney. We have to do it this week as well. We said last week that we were a little bit peeved by the way in which the media had sort of treated Wayne Rooney after he had equaled Bobby Charlton's record. He's now gone and beat that. I sat in this very studio, 94 minutes, Fergie time, typical Wayne Rooney. He went, he did it. He's the big cheese now. And again, I will go as far as saying that I still don't think he's got the credit he deserves. I still don't think so.
No, even
looking at some of the publications.
I'll tell you what, though. You know, if someone got his goals up on YouTube and just admired them for 20, 30 minutes and looked exactly what he'd done. He's not only a credit to Man United, he's a credit to Merseyside.
Yeah.
That's why
I was bringing him up, because...
Albeit he's gone to Man United.
People forget,
come on. With all due respect, you know... I'm going to have a pop at Evan again here, but he wanted to go and win trophies and cups and play in the best stadiums and play in, you know, against the best teams and win these trophies. And look, it kills me to say it, that Man United have gone and done that, and he's gone and done it. But look, what a wonderful career he's had up to now. And I still think he's got more. I was speaking to Dave about it, I said, well, you're having bad Everton. He went, oh, why not? You could sit him on the point of a diamond in any team. People say, oh, his legs might have gone this, that, and the other. He's still producing goals like that.
That baffles me when... You're right. Baffles me when people say that his legs are gone. Like, he's still moving at a massive pace. He's still getting in and around it. Yeah, he's a couple of years older.
Do you know what hasn't gone? I'll tell you what hasn't gone.
The head. Yeah.
He's so clever. Yeah. People are now questioning this goal he scored the weekend. Now... You tell me, was that a cross or a shot?
Who cares?
No, he meant that.
Who cares?
Exactly, Gareth. He's meant it, right? Now people are saying, oh, it was a cross. Listen, that way in a cross, it was 92nd minute or whatever. He's thought, you know what? I'm going to whack this as hard as I can with a bit of whippage on it, and hopefully it goes in the top bin. That's what you do when you're on free kicks in them situations. He's rescued his team a point. But how can anyone, you know... say that he's this, he's that. And going back to that England thing, what a farce. The papers, some of them papers do my head in, and namely that other paper no one likes. But, you know, to come out with a picture of a man, I guarantee you now they'll have took that picture of what he got took, or old, but he looks a bit worse for worse on it. They'll have made that even 10 times worse. Yeah. Now, what people didn't know of, there was other players out and about and here, there and everywhere. So what? He's just done what he's done. He's got a result
against Scotland. It's typical England, isn't it? It's build them up and knock them down. He's top scorer for Man United. He's top scorer for England as well. You know, he deserves all the credit in the world, and that's hard for me to say as a Liverpool fan, because obviously I don't like him. He played for Everton, played for Man United. But like you said before, there's a part here where you think, well, he's a lad from Croxteth who's gone on to be one of the best footballers this country's produced in a long, long time. Fair play to the lad. And the fact that people continually knock him, I find it bizarre.
If you look at the American sports, right, let's look at the Williams sisters, right, Odell Beckham Jr., right, look at I'm just going to try to go through the sports, the American sports. LeBron James, they are even Michael Jordan to some degree. They are still held in massive, massive, massive esteem by everyone. I'm just using the States as an example here, and sometimes the United States aren't always the best country to use as examples for certain things, but this is one in which they excel. They are superstars over there. The people love them. They're given the opportunity. They're given the Hall of Famers. The papers don't turn against them, right? It's a slightly different setup with regards to tabloids and stuff out there. Here, it's phenomenal. Like, Andy Murray, he's British. He loses. He's Scottish, right? Wayne Rooney, like you said, he is the top. He holds the top two most prestigious records almost.
How is he not good at
in domestic football? And it's just like, why is this not in the front pages? Why are they not talking about this in breakfast television?
Rooney, I follow him on, when I was on Instagram and Twitter, and he put something on, something happened, and all the press could talk about was something else. And he about swapping shirts for that young kid, and he thought, I've just done what I've done. And all these can worry about the press is this young kid asking me for a shirt. So what? Why point the finger at him?
It was going on about the Redden lad had supposedly snubbed him when they talked about swapping shirts. But all it was he got beat, hadn't he? Obviously,
yeah.
The Redden lad.
And
he didn't want to be he didn't want to be seen on the pitch swapping shirts. He wanted to do it off the pitch. He hadn't snubbed him.
And again, showing that both of those footballers went, you know what? We're going to take the moral high ground here. We're not going to swap jerseys on here. You've just been defeated 3-0. He goes into the dugout and does it. Well done. Shake hands.
But you know what? Do you know if he would have swapped it on the pitch, he'd have got slaughtered for
absolutely.
It. Yeah. So you can't win. And I don't you know what? I don't blame him. And you know what? But one thing that I love about it is Man United have got a legend who's a scouser.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
Saying it was all over Twitter, weren't it, last night, that he's this, that, the other. What a great shout that would be if you got a statue of him outside that ground at some point. Just for the Mancunians and, you know, the Manchester United
fans.
Yeah,
they walk past it every game and then go in the ground and sing about
eating
Scousers.
But you know what does me? When eating Scousers, the Scousers this. Your best player's a Scouser. But look, what Wayne Rooney's done here is phenomenal.
I love the fact that some Liverpool fans are using this to take the moral high ground at the moment. So well done, well done. He's a Scouser. He's one of our own. He's one of our own.
You want Scousers to do well up and down the country. There's lads in the lower leagues doing well. There's lads in the Premiership doing well who are Scousers. You know, you have got to stick by your home, and this city does to an extent. Obviously, with him being, you know, playing for Man United, but look, deep down, when he finishes his football career, he'd be able to walk around anywhere with his elder.
On a serious note, like any sort of taking any banter out of the equation, it's great that people from the city are doing well. Of course it is, because right now, kids who are coming through, we want them to be interested in the game, we want them to go the game, we want them to play the game. And there's a lot more things competing for their attention now than there was when I was growing up, or when Lobby's growing up, or whatever. I mean, I'm really struggling to get my lad into football. He wants to play computer games, he wants to do this and that, and it's like, no, but football. And if you've got a Rooney, you've got a Gerrard, you've got people from the city who've done what they've done, at the highest level for so long, then that's something to aspire to. That's something that when it's raining on a Sunday afternoon, you don't want to go out and play Sunday league or whatever, you'll go, yeah, but look, he did. Carragher did. Yeah. Rooney did, you know, and so on. So it is great for the city, even if he has achieved it in the wrong shirt.
I want to hear you singing he's one of our own. A special mention to QPR fans over the weekend, actually. Young Ryan Carey, who scored, young Irish kid, he scored.
And seen his goal.
He's one of our own. And I sat there and went, no, playing for Galway United in Ireland about 11 months ago. Pretty sure he was. Pretty sure I'd followed him.
Was he singing that? Yeah,
he's one of our own.
Terrible song.
Awful song. Well, listen, let's just focus on some of the big stories across the Premier League over the weekend. I'm going to start with one that you probably don't expect me to talk about, Leicester City. I could talk about Arsenal, I could talk about Spurs and Man City, I could talk about Bravo, the goalkeeper. Oh, the wheels are starting to wobble.
Do you know what?
This one.
I'm jumping in here before Gareth Wright. I read a quote off Danny Drinkwater saying they're on target to where they want to be. Right. What was their target last year before they won the Premier League? Before they had any intention to go on to win the Premier League, tell me what their target would have been. Safety.
17.
So what's the difference this year? Same players, if not lesser players. Same manager, same coaching style, same methods, same chairman. I think it was always going to be hard for them. Whatever was going to happen this season, whether they won the league last year, whether they won a cup, whatever it would be. Their main priority, Leicester City, whether they like it or not, is safety in the Premier League.
But this is the thing, Gareth, are both of you, it's starting to look like it could elude them, right? Look at them. Right, Swansea, decent result from the weekend. You suspect Swansea are going to be down in the middle of that. Hull, I don't know, I just think there's something Hull could get out of it. I think they have got really good players. So at the minute, it's Watford in 24 on 14th, and then it's kind of 21, 20, 18, 16, 16, 15. So it is Leicester, Middlesbrough, Swansea, Crystal Palace, Hull, Sunderland. I don't think Sunderland are going to stay up. I think there were some ridiculous comments from David Moyes saying, like, hey, we're going to bring players in, but they mightn't do any good. You look at Hull, I think they might have something. Crystal Palace could be there, thereabouts. But Leicester could just get sucked into that. There's literally just over a win in it. What do you reckon?
I'm going to put my neck on the line. I don't think Leicester are going to get relegated. No chance.
It will be tight, I think.
I think Leicester are capable of beating them bottom three teams.
I think Leicester are capable of beating them top three teams if you look at how they play sometimes.
You've seen it before, though, haven't you? There's been, I think I'm right in saying, Ipswich absolutely years ago, and they have like a bit of a, you know, they do really well in the league. They have a European adventure and all that sort of thing, and they almost take their eye off the ball in the actual league the following season. And I think that's perhaps what's going on. I mean, they're having a great time in the Champions League, aren't they?
Imagine if they won the Champions League, got relegated.
it's likely to happen with Leicester. Let's just very quickly and some of the other big points to talk about this weekend. Arsenal 2-1 winners over Burnley. Can Arsenal challenge at all, lads? What do you reckon? Or is it the 2-1 steady? We've got about 20 seconds on this one.
They were lucky there, weren't they? It was offside.
I think they can, but they always blow up, don't they, Arsenal? They do me, I like Arsenal, to be honest, but they always give up and... So I've got no time for them. I hope they blow up again.
Yeah. Chelsea, 2-0 winners over Hull. They're on the march. What's going to stop them?
They are on the march, right? But they can be beaten. And hopefully next week when Liverpool play them at Anfield.
Unless while we are talking about Liverpool at Anfield, we have 54 seconds. Liverpool taking on Southampton on Wednesday evening. Where's your head at there?
We just need a better performance from everyone. Players and fans. I thought the atmosphere was poor on Saturday. I hope fans are going into the ground for this game and thinking this is a cup semi-final, this is a chance to face Manchester United, get to Wembley, win a cup, put that in the cupboard and then go on from there. So treat it that way. Don't walk in there with the Swansea defeat still around your head. Get in there and get behind the side and see where we go.
Right, huge thanks to Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Wrap, Ryan Lowe, professional footballer with Crew Alexandra and coach as well. David Downey from the Blue Room. Right, I better run. I've got a leak in the ceiling and the plumber's coming in a few minutes, genuinely. Coming up next, it is John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, Steve Hothersill are going to be here with the Legends. Get your calls in now, 01517 away at 10:59. We'll see you back here tomorrow for more of the same. And if you missed all of this, we will podcast it shortly.